Perek Yutes, Pasuk Afes. We are continuing the Nevuah of Mitzrayim, the fall of Egypt. Well, not necessarily the fall, what will happen to Egypt at a period of time. We mentioned many times that it's not clear when, what period of time Yishai is referring to. It's very possible, and many Mepharshim do learn that he's referring to the period of time immediately after the fall of Malchus of Ashur, after the miracle where all of the soldiers died when they tried to conquer Yerushalayim. Immediately thereafter, or shortly thereafter, this event that's mentioned as Perek will come about. Others learn that no, we are referring to the time of Mashiach, even after Mashiach has come. So again, there are many different interpretations, but here Pasuk HaBeis concludes the Nevuah by saying, V'nogaf Hashem es Mitzrayim, Hashem will smite, He will punish, He will hit Mitzrayim, Nogof v'rofo. There will be a punishment, a makah. Nogof means to smite, to hit, but then will come healing. Hashem will ultimately heal. Unlike other nations that Hashem will completely destroy and obliterate and will never recover, Hashem will have compassion upon Egypt, because we learned before in the previous sukkah that the Mitzrayim will do tshuva. They will recognize that everything that's happening to them is b'yad Hashem. They will do tshuva. And therefore, v'rafo, there will be a time of healing. V'shavu ad Hashem, and the Egyptians will return to Hashem. They will do tshuva. V'netar lohem. Netar means Hashem will accept their prayers. Netar is a complex word, which means they will pray, and Hashem will accept their prayer. Lohem to them, urifo'om, and Hashem will heal them from their suffering. It's not clear what exactly the suffering is, but whatever it is, they will be healed. There's a very beautiful medrash. The medrash says that it compares the nature, the way Hashem punishes the nations of the world, in contrast to the way Hashem punishes the Jewish people. Here, the pasuk when it describes, there's nirifu'ah. So obviously there's illness. But the pasuk says the order is first comes nagof, and then comes healing. In other words, Hashem does not create the refuah, called them the mak. We're very familiar with this. Many of them are chazal. By Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon a member of Klal Yisrael a tzara, an illness, or for Klal Yisrael an illness, the refuah is already in place. Purim, we had, on a large scale of things, Purim, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Haman to implement, to enact the gzera, the hashma, the harag, the labanis, kol ha'yehudim, Hashem already had the refuah in place. Esther was already taken as queen to Melech Achashverosh, Achar Hadvar Mo'ela. After Esther was in place, then Haman got up and said, you know what? It's time, lahashma, laharag, la'abed. So that indeed, that really comes from a pasuk. Let me read the pasuk. I have over here in my Yitzhah HaMidrashim. The pasuk is, pasuk from Hosea. The pasuk says, "Kirofili Yisrael, v'nigla avon Ephraim." The pasuk first puts the refuah, and v'nigla avon Ephraim refers to the makkah. When the sin will be revealed, that means Hashem will bring punishment. When the sin of Ephraim is revealed, Hashem has no choice but to bring upon Ephraim Klal Yisrael punishment. But before Hashem brings upon punishment, already Kirofili Yisrael, the refuah already is in place. But by the Umos Ha'olam, we quote this pasuk. First comes Nagof, first comes the illness. And only then, if the nation is deserving, then Hashem first creates the refuah. Then the Rafa. So this is a very powerful pasuk here in the middle of Yeshaya, pasuk Perek Yotes, pasuk Chafbeis. This contrast, this idea that we are so familiar with, that Hashem is buried with refuah kodim l'maka, that is only by Klal Yisrael. But by the Umos Ha'olam, it's not so. First comes Nagof, then comes Rafa. It's a very powerful idea. On that day, Tia Mesilu Mitzrayim Ashur, Uvo Ashur b'Mitzrayim, U'Mitzrayim b'Ashur, V'Yavdu Mitzrayim es Ashur. It's not at all clear what this pasuk refers to. If it refers to the time of Chizkiyahu, so be it. It seems that although Ashur was humiliated and collapsed, and also we'll learn in the next parak that at that point in time, Mitzrayim was also severely reduced in world standing. But if you learn Lefi Pshuto Shel Mikra, it's referring to that time that there will be some restoration, and these two nations will become best friends, Mitzrayim and the nation of Ashur. And let me read the pasuk again on that day, Bayom Ahu, Tihiyem Misila Ipeth. They will be a road, a paved road, not just a dirt road, but there will be a highway that will take the Mitzrayim Ashura, that will lead directly from Mitzrayim to Ashur. No stopovers. Straight road.
And that road,
yeah,
is where it's Yisrael.
Well, it doesn't say that.
No, but basically,
today,
historically,
well, yeah,
when there was the whole wars,
yeah,
it was between Ashur and Mitzrayim. Yisrael had to take sides, and they may have taken the road because it's a cross path. In other words, in any war between Ashur and Mitzrayim, you had to go through Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, right. That was the whole story with Yoshiyahu. Okay, okay, fine, okay. But at this point, there'll be a road going Misilam, there'll be a path from Misilam to Mitzrayim Ashura. There'll be an alliance, there'll be friendship. Vo Ashur b'Mitzrayim, and the two will go back and forth. They'll go from Ashur to b'Mitzrayim, u'Mitzrayim b'Ashur, and then it's the Avdu Mitzrayim Es Ashur. Most of the Mepharshim interpret the word Es here to mean together. Es doesn't mean Mitzrayim will serve, that Ashur will be dominant, and Mitzrayim will be slaves. It means they will be partners. The Avdu Mitzrayim Es together with Ashur. That is how almost all the Mepharshim interpret the word. Look at the Mitzvah Stavit. Es Ashur Mitzrayim Yabdu Avodas Hamakom. They will serve Hashem together with Im Ashur. Kihemo Yakir Od Yosem Miflois Hashem Kishahika Bohem Malach Hashem. When they see the Mitzudas always learns the Psukim Lufi Pshuda Shal Mikra, Lufi the time period. And he's learning that after the incredible miracle where Sancheiv's army died, the Egyptians will recognize the Yad Hashem, and then they will fall into place. They will serve Hashem, especially after they will, as the previous pasuk says, they'll be punished and they'll be healed, and they will serve Hashem together with the remnant, any survivor of the Malchus of Ashur. Okay, that is one. Let's read a few more pasuk, and then we'll see another interpretation of what these pasuk mean. Pasuk of Dalit, Bayom Ahu, on that day, Yihyeh Yisrael Shelishiyah. Now, Shelishiyah can mean one of two things. Let's learn it means can be a part of a triple alliance. Lashon of Shlish, Shalosh, three. There will be a triple alliance. The previous pasuk told us about the partnership and the alliance between Ashur and Mitzrayim. But there's going to be a third partner. And the third partner is going to be Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be a third partner. But Yisrael Shelishiyah will be a third partner for Limitzrayim Ule Ashur. And there will be, period, and there will be bracha, there will be blessing, bikeref aretz, in the earth. Not clear what this means. Three major nations that will basically control the world. There will be Ashur, Mitzrayim, and Eretz Yisrael together. All three of them appearing seemingly will be equal. That's what, if you take the word shlisha to mean three, a triple alliance. Okay, one more pasuk, and then we'll go back and we'll explain these three pasukim together a little bit differently. Pasuk of Hey, Asher Beiracho Hashem Tzivakos Leimar. At this point in time, it will be Hashem will give a blessing upon the world, saying, "This is the bracha, Baruch Ani Mitzrayim. Blessed is my nation, Egypt." Unbelievable! Hashem is calling Egypt my nation. They will do tshuva at this point in time, to the degree where they will be deserving of these powerful words, where Hashem calls them my nation. And then he says, Uma'aseh Yodai Ashur. The nation of Ashur, Hashem will give them the honor of calling them the work of my hand. Different expression, Ani and Ma'aseh Yodai. And the third nation, who's part of this triple alliance, is Eretz Yisrael, V'nachalosi, my inheritance. My inheritance from days of old, who of Yisrael. Okay, so this is incredible stuff. What this means, it's not something that we are accustomed to hearing and familiar with. But if you take the psukim according to the simple interpretation, we have three psukim, chaf gimel, chaf dal, and chaf hey, describing at some point in time an event. Not clear what we are referring to. Again, we say this many times. According to the Mitzudos, this already happened. This already happened right after the time of the fall of Ashur. And as we mentioned many times, that was a time that was mesugal, much very for Mashiach. Mashiach was just was at the doorpost. He was here. Mashiach Chizkiah could have been Mashiach. Everything was in place, and it just didn't happen. It didn't happen for whatever reason. It didn't happen. But even though it didn't happen in a large scale, it happened on a smaller scale, whatever that means. And we have here these three nations, which all came together. Ashur, whoever survived in Ashur and Mitzrayim, together with Yisrael, the Yisrael is their nation. We have triple lions, and we have these beautiful expressions. Ami Mitzrayim, Ma'asi Yodai, Ashur, Nachos Yisrael, because everyone at this point in time recognized the Yad Hashem. Okay, now let's give another interpretation. That interpretation is refers to the time of Mashiach. We're now referring to what happened in the time of Mashiach, referring to what has not yet happened. And again, what does this mean? It's not clear. But let's go on an idea that we spoke about last week. Where everyone knows the pasuk, say this on the Yomim Noiraim. It's part of the psukim of Shofros, right? If I'm not mistaken, Shofros. Dehaya b'yom ahu, yitaka b'shofar gadol, uvahu ho'ivdim b'eretz Ashur, v'hanidachim b'eretz Mitzrayim, v'shtachvu l'Hashem b'har hakodesh b'yushlem. Beautiful nigunim. Everyone knows the very beautiful nigun. These words, the main nigun for these words, powerful pasuk. What does it mean? The Hoya on that day, Yitaka b'shofar gadol, when Mashiach comes, it's like, it really fits perfectly into these psukim Yisrael. Maybe that's really where it comes from. Yitaka b'shofar gadol, bo ha'ivdim, those that have been lost be'eretz Ashur, v'hanidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. So there are two time of Mashiach, when the shofar gadol will be blown, there are two major nations. Two major nations that exist in the world. There is Melech Ashur, and there is Mitzrayim. Now, we said many times, in every generation we have to reevaluate who is Mitzrayim and who is Ashur. And we said last week on Friday, we discussed that all the psukim, if you want to go study American history, all the psukim here in this parag, like almost, that's like jump out of you that in this generation, okay, every generation has to be reinterpreted. Musical chairs, called the musical chair theory. Every generation, all the nations have to fit into which nation in this generation is called Mitzrayim, which called Ashur, which is what this and which is that. But in Psukim seemingly say that, I mean, you can make an argument that America today is Mitzrayim. However, what? I don't know. I don't know. But on the other hand, when it says there's a chazal, there are two different words. Oivdim, those who are lost. When we describe Ashur, we describe the Jews that are lost. When we describe Ashur, the Jews are called Vahani Dochim. They're not lost. They can be identified. They're pushed. Nidoch means the pushed side. They're in ghettos. They're in ghettos, they're segregated, they're in hispoididus. So, and that's one point we have to make. Next point, Ashur comes from the word osher, happiness. There's an expression, you wish a person a bracha, osher v'osher. Osher with an ayin, and osher with an aleph. First comes osher with an aleph, then comes with an ayin. Osher with an aleph means happiness, and with an ayin it means wealth. You wish a person, you should have happiness and wealth. Osher v'osher. Play on the word with aleph and ayin. In fact, we don't do this today, but there's a tradition. There's a tradition that we lay this on Simchas Torah, the last few psukim, the last pasuk, or towards the end of the barachos of Moshe Rabbeinu, Ashrecha Yisrael Michamoicha. Am Noishav Hashem Mogin Ashrecha. So the word Ashrecha Yisrael, and it's not done today, used to have, or maybe, I don't know, maybe people do, a big groisa aleph. Like, you know, Shema has a very big ayin, a very big dalit. There are a number of letters, I think there are 8 letters, there's a number of letters in the Torah now that today it's standardized. Which letters are large, a small vayikra, a small aleph, Bereshis, a big base. I think 8 letters. There are 8 letters in the Torah that are meshumeh, that are different. But years ago, there are traditions, more than 8. Everyone had a different tradition. Some had 20, some had this, some had that. one of the letters that used to be, or some maybe some today also have this tradition, I'm not familiar, is Ashrecha Yisro Michamoicha, that the Aleph of Ashrecha is very large. And it could be the reasons not to make a mistake and say, you're rich. The Jewish people are not necessarily, I mean, they are, some of them are, but Ashrecha means you're fortunate. Ashrecha, Ashre Yoshev Esecha. Ashrecha with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. Ashrecha, Groisa Aleph, don't make that mistake. I just want to illustrate, Ashur means the land of happiness. Mitzrayim, everyone knows, comes from Meitzah, limitations, restraint, or Tsar, pain. Jewish people have been exiled to two different types of countries, or throughout our history, even in one country, the situation always changes. Sometimes it's in a matzah of Ashur. A golus of Ashur means a happy golus. What's a happy golus? Join us. Be part of us. Assimilate. We'll give you all the rights. Come out of the ghetto. You can do whatever you want in this country. Freedom of religion. Freedom. There are no limitations for Jews. Equal rights. Wonderful. Jews have prospered and yeshivas institutions, but unfortunately there's a downside. Well, you know, it's well documented. It's the fact that there's a lot that leads to assimilation. Not everyone can control themselves and hold back from all of the good things that the country has to offer. In the United States, I mean, what's the rate of intermarriage? It's over 50%, if I'm not mistaken, even more. It's, and how many Jews are religious in taking the United States of America? How many Jews are there? 6 million Jews in the United States of America, something like that? Or even more? I don't know. I once heard these statistics. It's horrifying, the statistics of what's going on in America. Many Jews don't even know that they're Jewish. It's because America is Ashur. It's the Golis of Ashur, where you have equal rights. I mean, it's a Malchus Shel Chesed. We're not willing to change.
Malchus of the Ayin.
It's Malchus. It's
Tremosa.
What?
Let's say you would take communism.
Oh, that's Mitzrayim. That's Mitzrayim. Okay. You're right. You're right. It's complicated. 100%. It's complicated. How many Jews in communist Russia have been wiped out? You're right. It's not so simple. So, but if you would put the two together, you would say that just the opposite. I told you last week that America, or the like of this situation, America is Ashur, equal rights, freedom of religion, and therefore the Jews are lost. V'vohu ho'oivdim. There are so many Jews that don't even know they're Jewish. If you ask them, are you Jewish? They say no. Is your mother Jewish? Yeah, mother's Jewish. Do you know that if your mother is Jewish, that means that you're Jewish? I never knew that. There are things, something like 2 million Jews like that in America. If you ask them, are you there? I don't know. I'm not Jewish, but my mother is Jewish. These Jews, if they're not educated within the next 5-10 years, they're lost for good. No one will be able to identify they're even Jewish. Oivdim be'eretz Ashur. Then there are nidochim. Nidochim means communist Russia or the communist countries where you're a Jew, go into the ghetto. Don't have anything to do with us. They're nidochim in the land of Tsar, Mitzrayim, where are there limitations for Jews, where there are restraints, where there is literally Tsar, where there is pain and suffering, where there is persecution for Jews. So Mashiach comes, v'hoya b'yoy mahu, yitoka b'shofar gadol, Mashiach will blow the shofar, b'toy shofar gadol, v'ohu ho'oivdim. What are the two nations that are going to be present when Mashiach comes? Does it mean literally Ashur, does it mean Mitzrayim? Not necessarily. How many Jews are there in Egypt today? So, vacation resorts. Not too many Jews living in Egypt today. But what's going to be in it means they're ho'oivdim be'eretz Ashur, the Jews that have been lost in nations that have taken on the characteristic of Ashur, equal rights. The Hanidochim and the Jews have been lost in nations that have taken on the characteristics of Mitzrayim, the Eretz Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the classic example. We were persecuted in Mitzrayim, the Avodas Perach. There was no greater example of the ghetto life of Goshen and the Shibur that happened in Mitzrayim, the Eretz Mitzrayim. That is what it means. That's what Mashiach is referring to. So some take that idea. It's a very beautiful idea, which is discussed when that pasuk, and that's another interpretation to what the pesukim refer to over here. So it talks about. Let's just go backwards. Pasuk Chaf Hey, Asher Beruch Hashem Tzvachus Leima Baruch Ami Mitzrayim. It doesn't mean, according to this second interpretation that I'm referring to, that Mitzrayim is called my nation. It means the lost Jews. The lost Jews who have been redeemed at the time of Mashiach from Mitzrayim. Hashem calls them my ami, my nation. My nation is Hashem's that you've suffered very much in the communist countries. You've been isolated. You're my now Mashiach has come. You have been redeemed. You're my nation. Umaseh yodai ashur. This refers to the Jews, not the nation, but the Jews that have been redeemed by the Melech HaMashiach in Ashur. Hashem is calling them my maaseh yodai, and v'nachalosi Yisrael, and the other Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael, who were not necessarily throughout all the years, there have always been isolated pockets of Jews that have been able to avoid the conflicts of different points in Israel. Today, Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, it's an independent state. Whatever that means, then there is Nachalosi Yisrael, the Jews that are not part of Ashur, not part of Mitzrayim, they will be called my Nachla at that time of Mashiach. So yeah, basically, these two interpretations really Rashi says. Rashi and the Medrash interpret the pasuk the second interpretation, that we're now referring to the nations, referring to the Jews who have been exiled in these nations and now have been redeemed at the time of Mashiach. The Mitzudos learns by the first interpretation, which means that there are going to be three nations. Hashem is going to elevate, there are going to be three world powers at the time of Mashiach, or maybe this happened in the past, and they will rule the world, the three nations together. Shalishia means a triple alliance.
So if you take the pasuk, you talk of Pshat Kabbalah, yeah. According to the first Pshat, it's literally, we're saying literally, Mitzrayim will become.
No, I don't think anyone. I don't think anyone takes the interprets the pasuk of Hoya Biyamu Yitaka in the literal fashion. I don't believe so. I'm not aware. Now,
is he talking about there's a Mashiach here?
No. So I'm just saying that these psukim, there is definitely two interpretations how to read these psukim moving pasuk chaf hey. There is no question. There are two interpretations. Either it's the literal. What? There are different opinions. Pasha says yes. That's the similar. It's hard to understand what. A lot of things from history are lost, even though there are historians and there are encyclopedias and there are libraries. The truth is, the further back you go, the less and less we know. That's the Mitzvah. We know very little. You go back to the time of the Bayis Rishon. World history during the time of the Bayis Rishon. There's not much. There are chunks of years, 100-year chunks of time. What happened? What happened during those years? What was going on? And we have a piece of information here, piece of information here, but like things are missing. So. Maybe there was a point in time in history at the time of Chizkiyah. We don't really know much about the time of Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah, I mean, today they claim they know, but there are things that are definitely hidden. So maybe there was a point in time when there was a world, there was a triple alliance, Ashur and Mitzrayim, literally, and Eretz Yisrael. They worked together for a period of time. Okay, but it also can definitely be interpreted in reference to Yemos HaMashiach. Who is Ashur? Who is Mitzrayim? I don't know. Who are these nations? It's today Egypt. Egypt today, you think is going to become a world power once again? I don't know. It's not. Doesn't seem like it. But we don't know what's going on. But according to Rashi, Rashi seems to say that's what's going to be. There's a nation called Mitzrayim. There's a nation called Ashur, and there's going to be Yisrael. And then the Mitzvah learns, and they're going to lead the world. According to Rashi, it refers to people that. The Jewish people that have been exiled among these nations. The one other point I've got to make, is that when I told you the word Shalishia means a triple alliance, Shalosh. Others say no, it means a captain. The Shalishim al Kulo. And in fact, as Surav Shrab explains that, I'm sure he has sources, is that the chariots in Egypt, the chariots, when they chased after the Jewish people, so there were. How many chariots? Sheish Mios Rechev? 600 chariots. Sisera had 900 chariots. So, but in Mitzrayim there was 600 chariots. What was the composition of soldiers on the chariots? So he says there were three. The way it worked was there was someone in the center, and there were two. He was the captain of the chariot, and there were two other people that sat in the chariot on the, that flanked the captain. He was the centerpiece. That's why he's called a shalish. A shalish means a captain, a leader, a colonel, a general. A shalish. Why is he called a shalish? Because the ancient shalishim were one of three. There was a trial. There was a triple set. There were three souls that sat on the chariot. But that's so. It's a borrowed expression. It means a leader. So here as well, it means that the Jewish people will lead. It's not going to be an equal alliance where there's going to be Egypt and Ashur and the Jewish people. No. Eretz Yisrael is going to be the Shalish. They're going to be in charge. And under them, subordinate to Eretz Yisrael, will be Mitzrayim and Ashur. So if you want to say Mitzrayim is America, I don't know who the world powers say. China's world, I don't know. How everything is a matter, it's relative of Japan, where the work for, I don't know, different parts of the world. How do you want to, there's going to be something called a Mitzrayim, and there's going to be a nation called Ashur, and there's going to be Eretz Yisrael, this little teeny dot on the map, and they're going to be in charge, and everything will follow from Eretz Yisrael. That's the other interpretation. That day, Yiyeh Yisrael Shilishia. They'll be the captain of the world. For who? For the Mitzrayim Uli Ashur, Brocha, Bekerev Eretz Halavai, it should happen already. Asher Berech, Hashem Tzvok, Aslema Berech, Ami Mitzrayim, Masidai Ashur, Venachlasi Yisrael. So these are a couple of these. Shalom Alechem, Rabbi Shane, how are you? Rabbi Shane, Shalom Kadmonios.
Yes.
Welcome. Here's a.
Maybe it's a three-wheeled chariot.
Okay, could be. You know how they know about chariots? You have to go to the Jewish Museum, the Jewish in Bar Park. It's fascinating. You have to,
this museum.
It's on 16th
Avenue, 41st or 42nd.
But you only can go there when the Balabas gives the tours. If you just go and walk around there, you look, so you see a few things. You have to hear him talk. He has a mouth. Whew. Pem Mapik Margolios.
Yeah, the call him up.
Woo, unbelievable.
He has supposedly artifacts.
Fantastic. He is. That's maybe what we should do. We should go there together one day. Really, I'm not sure. We should maybe make an appointment. We should go there and from the time of Yeshaya, he will show us. He's really incredible. He's out of this world. Out of this world. Yeah, of course. He now takes pictures. He opens up all the cases. He lets you hold everything and touch. And he says, "Well, you're holding me. It costs $3 million. And I bought it at this auction. And then I remember he told us a story that he bought something. And he showed us something. He went to an auction. And he's a very big Talmud Chacham. He's a Talmud Chacham. I assume he's trained professionally in this field as well. He's a Chassid Shagai. And he's trained. He was for sure trained.
Yeah,
the shul there, a little shtibel there. And he's trained professionally.
He also has a stucco organization. He gives out food for Shabbos. Also.
Really?
Yeah.
I once passed by. You're right. Right.
Yeah, plenty of people.
So he once he showed us something. He said he went to an auction, and you know, he knows Tanakh and he knows Chazal, and there were secular people looking around, and he right away understood what he saw. He saw a coin. And he right away understood, based upon his Talmudic knowledge, the value of what a find he had. And he bought it for peanuts. The other representatives of different museums didn't think much because they didn't know Chazal. They don't know Tanakh, like he knows Tanakh. So he bought it for peanuts. He bought it for a few $1,000, this coin, whatever it was. He goes home and he writes an article. And it was published in one of the most prestigious, I don't know, I'm not familiar with these magazines, secular magazines describing what he found, what he bought. And he sent in the article, and it was published, whatever it was published shortly thereafter. The day after the article was published, he gets a call from one of the biggest museums in Eretz Yisrael. They want to pay him now, I think he told us, a few $1 million on the spot. He paid, I think, $10,000. They want to pay him a few $1 million. What he found is so rare. And they were there. They could have brought on the they just did it. He wrote an article to explain what he found. So he told us he's not selling it. Because he wants here in Borough Park, he gives tours to schools, very big into schools. Yeah. He wants the Yiddish Kinderlach. They will appreciate this. They learn Chumash, they learn Tanakh. They will appreciate what he shows them. I go to a museum in Israel, you're going to be some locked up in the second museum. Who's going to appreciate it over there? It's kedai that the Torah, the Tanakh, should come to life. And that's the whole approach with everything, and everything he has there. And it's just...
By the way, the secondary largest industry in coin collecting is counterfeiting.
Okay, now let's just start one pasuk. Pasuk chaf. I'll give you some background. Parakaf. Parakaf begins another nevuah describing the churban of Kush and Mitzrayim. Now, the background to this is, so this really, yeah, if we have to study Sefer Melachim. What happened is, we spoke so much about Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, as he conquered Aram, Pekach ben Ritzin Melech Aram, and then he conquered the Aseres HaShvatim, and then he conquered a significant portion of the Malchus of Yehuda, and he was on his way to conquer Yerushalayim. And the people living in Yerushalayim were petrified. And there were two camps. There was Shevna, we discussed this once. There was Chizkiyahu. And there was almost a civil war taking place in Yerushalayim with another leader, very charismatic person. His name was Shevna. And Shevna had even a larger following than Chizkiyahu. And Shevna wanted to surrender. He felt that it would be in the best interest of the Jewish people they should surrender. And the average person in the street had a very difficult time deciding, should they go with Chizkiyahu HaMelech and not surrender, or should they follow Shevna and surrender? And it was we think, oh, Chizkiyahu, what's the question? Living in those times, it was a very big dilemma, because Shevna was very charismatic and he fooled the people to think that he was sincere and Hashem was with him. Okay, whatever the story was. And Yeshayahu had a prophecy, we learned this in the prophecy, he told that Hashem came to me, b'cheskas yod, the strongest possible expression of prophecy, and told me, don't listen to Shevna. Shevna is not sincere. Shevna eventually was killed. We have to learn, say, from Malachim to the entire detail. In this process, as Sancheriv was advancing and coming to attack Yerushalayim, coming to attack, suddenly Sancheriv makes an about face. Sancheriv gets word that in Kush, out in Kush in Ethiopia, somewhere far away, there's a rebellion against him. There's a rebellion. He got word there was a rebellion near Egypt, near Kush in Egypt. So Shevna says, Sancheriv says, you know what? I'm not going to attack Yerushalayim now. I got to take care of business. It's an emergency. It's a threat to my Malchus. I have to delay my conquest of Yerushalayim and take care of business, take care of this nuisance out, I think Ashtoda, we'll see, whatever, and this, I have to go now and take care of this nuisance out in Kush. So when he retreated, and he went to go and attack Kush, everyone was jumping for joy. They thought that city's gone, he's never coming back. And that wasn't true. It was a temporary, he went there to conquer Kush and he came back. He did come back. So here Yeshaya is telling us, here that's the first passage, Mishnas Bo Tartan. Tartan was the general of Sancheriv. He was his hatchet man. Ashdoda. Ashdoda is a city near Kush. He made an about face when Tartan went to Ashdoda. Bishhu sent him. He was just about, he was on the verge of conquering Yerushalayim. He got an emergency message from Sancheriv the king. Bishloach Oso Sargon. Sargon is one of Sancheriv's eight names. Sancheriv had eight names. He was a match for Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu had eight names. Then we had the pasuk, Peleoitz, that pasuk of all the eight names. Chizkiyahu had eight names, so his match is always, you know, you always have the forces of good, the forces of evil, they're always equal. So Sancheriv had eight names, and one of his eight names was Sargon, Melech Ashur, he was Sancheriv, and he told him, Vayilochem ba'ashdod vayilkidah, he went, he made an about face to the city called Ashdod, it was near Cush, to conquer it, to fight against and to conquer. At that moment in time when he made an about face, the Jewish people were celebrating, were safe. We were terrified, we were about to be conquered by the general of Sancheriv, Tarton. We're going to be safe because he made a retreat. At that point in time, Hashem spoke to Yeshaya and told Yeshaya to give over the following prophecy. And what he told him, we'll learn it to Hashem tomorrow.